need one set of those exhibits because they're not in the book. Either one, don't matter.
There you go.
I did. Did you provide the MS-17s?
Any of the ones in the booklet I don't need, but if they're new, I have to retain at least one copy. Sorry.
Okay.
There were a complete set of boards that were submitted,
That's fine. Okay. I didn't see what you submitted, so I just need a copy of whatever it was.
These two.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks. Appreciate it. We're back straight for 50 minutes.
Straight commercial thing. Our next public hearing is Subdivision 2005-94, Seacoast Investments, LLC. It's a rehearing.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, dividing 81.84 acres into 163 lots using the cluster development concept in preparation of the plans. Located east of U.S. Route 113, south of Road 325, and west of Road 326. I will note that the applicants did submit on October 26 of 2009 an exhibit booklet titled Revised Olms House Preliminary Plan Report for Seacoast Investments, LLC. And it does include a summary, exhibits, and it's a spiral-bound document about 3/4 inches thick, and all the commissioners have a copy of this document for the record. Thank you. And then Mr. Abbott may have additional comments based on the technical advisory committee.
Mr. Chairman, the TAC review of 2006 is a part of the record. Just a brief history on this. On January 11th of 2007, Commission reviewed an application for 199 lots utilizing the cluster option and also the moderately priced housing unit program. The Commission deferred action. You discussed this under old business February 20th of 07. Once again, you asked, or you deferred action and asked the council to clarify their position on accepting the application into the MPHU program. On June 12th of 2007, the council disqualified this application from that program. On March 18th of this year, there was a revised plan submitted for 163 lots, and the commission felt that it should be go back to a rehearing. Bring us to where we are tonight. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir. We thank you. The chair recognizes Mr. Fuquay.
Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I represent the applicant. With me is Kevin McBride on behalf of Morris Ritchie, who are the engineers and site designers. Bob Minatoli, who's a principal of the applicant, is out of state on business and could not be here tonight. I do want to mention with, because I was thinking about this, I do want to mention with some regret, but some pleasure, that I'm glad I'm not stopping anyone from watching the World Series tonight and doing this presentation.
Disappointing as that is.
I wouldn't want to be the one up here causing that to happen.
Okay.
As Shane mentioned, there were some original exhibit books submitted on this application, which are right here, and then there was a revised preliminary plan report that was submitted that you gentlemen should have copies of. This is an application for 163 single-family lot subdivision utilizing the cluster provisions of the zoning ordinance. The property contains 81.84 acres. It's located south of Georgetown. It has road frontage on three roads. The western boundary of the site fronts on Route 113, the eastern boundary on Bethesda Road, and the north boundary on Speedway Road. You're all familiar with the site as the Seacoast Speedway, so I think you're all familiar with it. I need to take just a minute to explain the unusual history of the application, which Shane mentioned. This was originally filed in November of 2005, or about 4 years ago. The original subdivision application that was filed contained 163 lots, which is the same number of lots as we're here before you tonight requesting. About the time that original application was filed, the county had been reviewing and actually adopted the moderately priced housing unit ordinance, or the MPHU ordinance. And the purpose of that ordinance was to create affordable housing units throughout the county, and it authorized bonus density for applications that qualified and provided these MPHU units. A proposal was made by Mr. Minatoli on this application that was approved by the county council, and it authorized this application as an MPHU development. And thereafter, the subdivision application was amended and revised to increase the number of lots to 199, and that basically was an increase of 36 additional MPHU units. A public hearing was then held before the commission back in January of 2007, which some of you will recall. Mr. Ross wasn't on the commission at the time. The commission deferred action and requested clarification from the county council because the land was not in a growth area, and under the MPHU ordinance, sites were required to be in that type of area under the plan. This was in a low-density area. Now, at that time, this was the very first MPHU application, so it was somewhat of a learning experience for everyone that was involved. We went back to the county council, and after re-reviewing it, it was determined that because it wasn't in a growth area, it did not qualify. So the original approval by the county council was an error, and basically it did not have the MPHU approval. Basically, it would need to be in a growth area, and that would require revision of the comp plan. So after that, we came back, or I think I sent a letter actually to the commission requesting that the application be deferred pending the matter being resolved, and the commission did approve that. Now, shortly after that period of time, both the town of Georgetown and Sussex County were reviewing and revising their comprehensive plans. And it was anticipated that because of the location of this site that it would be placed in a growth area. And in fact, in the 2008 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, the site was redesignated as a growth area. It's in the developing area under the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, which technically gets us back to where we could be qualified. And then, of course, while all that was going on, as you are well aware, the economy and the housing market in particular significantly changed. So as a result of that history, it was determined to basically drop the MPHU request and amend the subdivision application actually back to the original application, which was 163 lots, so a reduction of 36 lots, and a revised site plan which incorporated that and many of the plus and tack comments was submitted to the county. We then appeared before you in March of 2009 under that original deferred application, and the commission determined, which we had no objection to, that because of the revision to the plan and because of the unusual time lapse that had occurred, that the application should be re-reviewed under the plus process prior to a public hearing being scheduled. So that's what brings us here tonight. We did, in fact, reapply to PLUS as requested by the Planning Commission. We met with the PLUS agencies on April 22nd of 2009. PLUS comments dated May 18th are in the record. And as stated in those PLUS comments, the site is now within the developing area surrounding Georgetown under the comprehensive plan, and the state has no objections to the development of this parcel. And a response to the revised PLUS comments are in the exhibit book that we submitted. Now, getting to the actual specifics of the application, as I said, the site has been used as the Seacoast Speedway. It consists of basically a racetrack, grandstands, concession buildings, pit and work areas, parking areas. There's some areas that were actually farmed, and then there's some areas that are wooded. The racetrack itself operated as a non-conforming use based on its existence prior to the enactment of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance in 1970, and I believe the racetrack started sometime back in the 1950s. Now, as I said, the racetrack's a non-conforming use. The actual zoning of the property is AR1, and again, in the AR1 district, as you know, one of the stated purposes is to provide for low-density, single-family residential development, and detached single-family dwellings on individual lots are a permitted use in the AR1 district. And again, as I already mentioned, it is in a growth area under the comp plan. The proposed subdivision is designed to create 163 lots on 81.84 acres, which is a density of 2 lots per acre. The development will be served by a central water system for domestic water use as well as fire protection, and that would be provided by a public utility company, Tidewater Utilities. A sewer would be a central on-site wastewater treatment facility operated by a licensed and regulated utility company. Soil reconnaissance study and soil feasibility studies were performed by Geotechnology Associates. Those studies identified suitable soils on site for on-site disposal in the northeast and southwest portions of the site. Those studies were reviewed by DENREC, and a statement of feasibility was issued by DENREC's Division of Water Resources for the site. Other utilities serving the subdivision would be electric by Delaware Electric Cooperative, cable TV by MediaCom, and telephone by Verizon. The site is in the Indian River School District and within the service area of the Georgetown Volunteer Fire Department. The Delaware State Police Troop 4 is located less than 1 mile north of the site on 113. The site, as you're aware, is centrally located in Sussex County. There's numerous retail and service businesses located nearby in Georgetown, as well to the south in Millsboro. In addition, there are potential employment opportunities in the area at nearby schools, numerous government agencies, and the Sussex Correctional Institute, which is located just north of the site. DelDOT did not require a traffic impact study due to the projected impact of the development, but it will require the developer to fund an equitable portion of several improvement projects that are proposed in the area. And it mentioned these proposed projects were planned prior to our application, not as a result of our application. So these are already projects that DelDOT had in their in their planning process. These projects include installing islands to prohibit left turn onto Route 113 and crossing movements at the Almhouse Road Speedway Road intersection and the Kruger Road Woodland Branch Road intersection. DelDOT also has a project under development to replace the stop-controlled intersection of Zur Road, Speedway Road, and Bethesda Road with a roundabout. And if you're familiar with that intersection, it is an unusual intersection. But they're planning on placing a roundabout there. And then also DelDOT indicated that they would require the developer to enter into agreements with DelDOT to do roadway improvements to Wood Branch Road, Speedway Road, Bethesda Road along the site frontage, and also to Speedway Road from Route 113 to Wood Branch Road. The site, the development would be easily accessible to main roads. Obviously, it's adjacent to Route 113, and there is a nearby DART bus stop north of the site at the Correctional Institute. All lot owners in the development would be required to be members of a homeowners association. It would be responsible for enforcing the restrictions, collecting dues, and maintaining the community facilities and the open space. As I mentioned, the development was designed in accordance with the cluster provisions of the zoning ordinance. The minimum lot size is 7,500 square feet. There's no wetlands within any lot dimensions. Open space is approximately 41.95 acres, which is about 51% of the site. The development is limited to single-family lots, all of which front on interior streets. There is currently approximately 22.8 acres of existing woods on the site. 18.59 acres of the existing woods would be preserved, which is about 81% of the existing wooded area. Buffers are provided around the entire perimeter of the site. Recreational amenities include a tennis and a multi-use court, tot lot, play fields, connecting sidewalks, and a multi-use path. The site has been used, as I said, for some time as a racetrack, and there's no historical or archaeological resources impacted by the proposed development. The considerations listed in Section 99-9C of the subdivision ordinance have been addressed. They're in a written form that Kevin prepared that are in the booklet under tab 9. They show there's no negative impact on the area. The subdivision provides a residential design which preserves and protects the natural features of the site by preserving the wooded areas, protecting the wetland areas, providing appropriate buffers around the development exterior, and we believe it results in a total environment and design which is superior to the standard option subdivision. And with that, I'll turn our presentation over to Kevin to review the actual site plan.
Kevin McBride on behalf of Morris and Ritchie. Mr. Fuqua gave a good presentation in chronology, so I won't go through that again. And I'll try and cover some of the aspects of the plan. We tried over the evolution of these three various plans, and you have the original submittal in the package that was submitted years ago. The one submitted, the MPHU, and then with the package you have now, comparing the three, all three endeavored to have more open space and more perimeter buffers. Over the time, while this was under review and waiting for inclusion into the comprehensive plan, you all enacted some buffers between adjacent developments and expressed an interest for buffers along main roads, and we endeavored to pull things into the site. We also tried to incorporate all of DENREC's comments regarding buffers in forested areas. So just quickly walking you through the plan, we have an entrance that was negotiated with DelDOT, which takes you into what used to be lots here. We now have open space. We've got a central open space linked by the main roads through. There's an existing culvert here along the there's Waters of the U.S. and a hedgerow of mixed vegetation and some pine trees there. That existing culvert, I guess, was part of a dragway that went through the original elliptical race courses here. This is all open area. These are areas where we would disposing of the treated effluent, which is in the wastewater treatment facility here. So our environmental impacts are negligible. We're using the existing culvert here. The wetlands are associated with Almshouse Ditch, and the forested area there is going to remain very much intact. Originally, we had units back in here. We pulled them out. The latest rendition eliminated some cul-de-sacs and some units that were along the road. We have our typical multimodal path that wraps the site, plus internal connecting walkways and open space areas that's much improved over all the plans. So each plan has reduced the amount of roadway and has increased the amount of open space and buffer throughout the site. A summary, I guess, would be we originally went from 33 acres in lot up to about 35 acres in lots when we added the extra units, and then back down to 31.17 acres in lots. Our open space increased in all of those from 35.8 to 36.39, and we're now up to 41.95. Our streets have gone from 12 to 9 to 8.7, so we've decreased our street and impervious area in an attempt to meet what DENREC was asking us through the PLUS comments. One thing that came up, I think Mr. Ross contacted me and said there was some concern from adjacent owner that I wasn't aware of. Mr. Baxter, James Baxter, I met with him Saturday regarding off-site drainage. That was something that came up, I think, in some of the plus comments, and I didn't know that it related to a particular person. But we will not be impounding any water on our site, and we will not be releasing any more water from our site than currently exists through our stormwater management practices, and we'll meet all the TMDLs and pollution control strategies on the project. But that existing ditch, we looked at it Saturday, Mr. Baxter and I did, and we called Mr. Minatoli and told him of our findings. It looks like there may be some pretty large pine trees, about 18 inches in diameter, that have grown up in the bottom of the ditch, which has water standing in it now, and it's classified as waters of the U.S. due to that. It's not wetlands as such, but the water standing there makes it something that they would take jurisdiction over. I called Mr. Cahill at the conservation district and talked about possibly helping us in dipping that out, cleaning it out to promote better drainage in the future. Mr. Mentoli has agreed to pursue that through final engineering, what it would take to make the drainage improvements in that ditch, so long as it doesn't get into a long, protracted battle with the Army Corps of Engineers, and you know what that can be like, because we've done everything we can to avoid impacts and save trees in the hedgerow, and then here we are possibly having to remove them. So we want to balance that out, but we certainly would like to improve the drainage. It doesn't appear to be any restrictions due to culvert sizes or anything else. It's just vegetation that's grown up. So I have a letter that Mr. Minatoli wrote to Mr. Baxter, and I gave that to him earlier, and if you don't mind, I'll... Okay.
Thank you.
And basically, it says what I said. If we can work with the Army Corps of Engineers and the state to go ahead and take some action, just as long as that happens during construction, so we don't have to mobilize ahead of schedule, he'd be willing to look at what we could do to improve drainage. And with that concludes my presentation. Unless you have any questions.
In summary, I just handed to Mr. Lank the proposed findings and conditions, which I would ask you to consider. The proposed subdivision before you tonight is designed in accordance with and we believe achieves the intended goals of the cluster provisions of the ordinance. The development will provide housing alternatives to many people working in the Georgetown-Millsboro area. In particular, government employees, teachers, correctional officers, and employees, as well as employees in the beach areas where housing prices will not be as affordable as they would be at this location. And lastly, the site, as I mentioned, is in a growth area, as most recently designated by the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, and the re-review by PLUS indicated that the state agencies do have no objection. So with that, that'll conclude our presentation, and we'll try to answer any questions you or the public may have.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I kind of concur with you through the transitions that this project has gone. What we see today is certainly superior in some respects to some of the others. But one of the things I found curious was that I only see sidewalks on one side of the street when the commission traditionally with 7,500 square foot lots requires sidewalks on both sides. Is there a reason why there's a reduction to one?
And the plan actually shows sidewalks on both sides.
But I did read in it, I'm pretty sure I read somewhere in there it was talking about one side, but...
I think it's in the conditions that I submitted.
Okay, so...
Which I probably schradered, you know, by not correcting something on there. It was probably from another set I had done that had that in there. I believe this plan, if you look at this plan, it does show sidewalks on both sides of all streets as well as some interconnecting trails. Is that right, Kevin?
Again, a lot has transpired since this was originally submitted as an affordable project, and some county standards have been adopted, so there'll be sidewalks on both sides.
I think the original plan had it on one side.
Okay. Thank you.
So you would correct your suggested conditions K to be included both?
Correct.
Thank you.
And what discussions have you had with the town of Georgetown about connecting with their wastewater treatment plant facilities?
It's not the intention of the developer to connect in. He's using Tidewater Environmental Services for wastewater disposal at this point.
And could you share with us how you would intend to treat the wastewater and how you intend to discharge the effluent?
Mm-hmm. Wastewater treatment is planned for an open area here. There's a berm that runs around the north. West side of the site and would be accessed internally through the public road systems here. There's forested area over here that's suitable, and there's some open area over here that's suitable. It would maybe some rapid infiltration and spray, maybe a combination. The final design's not done yet, but these areas are certainly suitable for disposal. Nothing over in this area here. The soils were not conducive for disposal. And of course, the compacted area of the racetrack. And that's why we put the residential development there.
Okay. And for purposes of the commission, or benefit of the commission, as well as some of the local residents, what kind of odors would they anticipate having emanating from your wastewater treatment fields?
I don't think they would experience any.
I wouldn't think so, but for the benefit of everyone here. So there should not be any offensive odors from the water that's discharged on. Okay.
And Mr. Johnson, I would add, again, as you know, these types of systems have been used in many subdivisions and other developments. And basically, obviously, the most easily impacted person would be the person in the new development. And I'm not aware of any of these causing any problems. I have not heard of any concern ever expressed.
Well, for some folks who are not familiar with the wastewater treatment facilities today, they might anticipate the big open pits where you have the, you know, the sewage floating about, but that's not what would be there in your...
That's not the intention.
Okay. In your report or the materials you submitted to us, there's reference to possibility brownfield. What kind of studies, if any, have been undertaken to determine whether, in fact, there's any extensive areas, especially given that the history of this track, both for automobile racing as well as drag racing, in terms of any disposal sites?
We certainly didn't mean to imply anything hazardous by that, only that the intensive use as a racetrack would be changed to residential in a positive direction. A lot of compaction. And there was some oil drums, fuel facilities, I think, that were identified in the phase one. And I think those things have been dealt with. But there's nothing, you know, extensive in terms of, hazardous material.
You've done a phase one environmental study?
Yes, phase one has been done. And that's in your original appendix.
And that's not indicating any significant...
No.
Areas of concern at this point.
And again, I think the reference to brownfields was that this is similar to where a industrial type development was being turned into a residential or something more compatible with the area, not a direct comparison to a brownfield site.
Well, sometimes that word raises bells and
right a lot.
And I did hear you mention multi-sport courts, not just tennis courts.
One of the courts would be a tennis court, and one would be a multi-sport court with the basketball on the either side and the You know, it took me a while to actually, if I can digress for a minute, I never understood how that would work because I could see tennis people running into where the basketball things would be. I didn't realize they were sideways. Tennis one way, basketball the other way. So I'm a lawyer. I'm not an engineer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I've been through enough hearings with this. I'm comfortable with the information presented tonight. I have no further questions at this point.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Bergen.
I didn't read your proposed conditions, but is there a place for a school bus stop?
Yeah, at the entrance, there's numerous places, and that would be coordinated with the school district, but it would probably be where the sports courts are.
What type of housing are you anticipating here? I know during the MPHU it was announced on what you were going to build. What is the intention now?
Obviously it's single-family residential type houses. I don't know any square footage determination yet. I know in the materials that we submitted, because of the market conditions, the prices have been pulled back some. It's anticipated $200,000 to $250,000 price range.
You mentioned the culvert there. Will you be changing that culvert out or leaving the existing one in?
We would like to look. We would like to investigate that further. I've got a recent plot of the topography, and it looks like it could be improved if we change it out. That would require a federal permit, but it's not an insurmountable permit. It's a nationwide. And I think it's something that in talking to the owner, he'd be willing to do if it would help us lower the depth of the ditch. And then if we can get cooperation from the district to go ahead and help with the permitting and actually cooperating with the digging out of the ditch, dipping out of the ditch, and cleaning out the vegetation, we can improve the drainage substantially. So we'd like to pursue that if we could. So we weren't going to, but now in talking with Mr. Baxter, I think we'd like to try and do that.
Was there any thought given to any community buildings at all, or just tennis courts and walking trails?
Yeah, part of the planning of this was to keep it a very affordable development, particularly originally when I had the MPHU element to it, but it's still geared to be an affordable development. And they're a nice amenity, but again, you know, they cost more, drives up the cost, there's maintenance features, and it was just determined in this case, no.
Thank you. No further questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do we have in our exhibit book, do we have the response from the Office of State Planning to your response to their plus comments?
Let me think there for a second. We went to them the second time, and we got their comments, and Kevin's responded to that. And I know there is no response, but...
Thank you.
Do they always respond to those comments?
They always provide a final response to your response.
Again, this was a situation where they indicated they had no objection, so I don't think there'll be anything of any major consequence.
Okay. The answer is there is none.
No, there hasn't been any further.
I think the response from Kevin was October 20th, I believe.
Yes.
Booklet and it's probably not been responded to yet. Typically, it's over 10 days or around about 10 days when they respond.
Thank you. You mentioned in the exhibit book, do we have, is there an exhibit with any of the facts and findings of the geotechnology associates insofar as their soil work?
In the original binder that was submitted, this binder, there's a copy of that
it's in there.
And a copy of the DENREC feasibility letter.
And I believe Mr. McBride's statement was that it would be tide water for the sewer as well as the community water. All right. The roundabout at the intersection Bethesda Road, Zor Road, Speedway Road, that is in the plans by DelDOT.
It is in DelDOT's plans, and as I said, it's not our idea.
But that was going to be my next question. That was their concept.
That was in play. Yeah, that was in play before us. It didn't have anything to do with that.
The approval or denial of this subdivision has no impact on what DelDOT decides to do on those state roads.
I don't know where DelDOT stands, as you're aware, with the financial conditions. But the last thing I had read was they were anticipating that for 2013.
Mm-hmm. That's all I have for now. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Ross?
Yes, thank you, Mr. McBride, for taking time for meeting with Mr. Baxter. He's an upstanding member of the farm community, of which I happen to be a part of, and I appreciate you taking time to meet with him. I'm looking forward to hearing his version of the conversation as well. Is there any chance, opportunity of getting the Phase 1 assessment provided to the commission, a copy?
It should be in the book.
We'll check. I believe it is in that original.
If it's not in the book, if you could get a copy.
Probably in the file, but not in the exhibit books.
I didn't notice it in the book, but maybe I overlooked it.
When I say the booklet, I'm referring to this original appendix binder that was filed.
If it's not on file, we probably should have a copy. And then Title 3, Delaware Code, Chapter 9, in the reference to proximity to the Ag Preservation District, I assume you're familiar with the requirements in that to stipulate on all new deeds that, you know, people are buying a property, you know, within an agricultural production area and all the things that go along with that.
Yeah, and normally we would put that in the restrictions as well as the deeds. We'd be notified people of that in the area. As you know, it's required by law.
Thank you. No further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Lang?
Yeah, all my questions have been answered.
All right, then. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counsel?
No questions, but just one statement for the record, just for everybody's benefit, in light of Mr. Ross's questions. This one's been unusual in that there's been a public hearing, and there's been another public hearing, and time's lapsed. However, it's tracked through, as I understand it, with the same application number. So the information that was submitted whenever the original hearing was, but for 2005-94,
January
the subdivision.
07.
What's that?
January 07.
January 07. That's still part of the record for this. So it's not as though we need to incorporate that into this record. It's all one continuous record. So okay. Just, again, to make that clarification.
Thank you. Mr. Thanks. Johnson, you have another question?
I did have a question, and it's back to the type of housing. Are we talking about stick-built or modular? Or?
I don't think that's been determined. As you know, modular is treated the same as stick-built. There's no distinction as far as a building permit's concerned. It obviously would not be, terms are more difficult to say now, it would not be manufactured.
Not mobile manufactured.
Because that would not be permitted there. So it would be some form of stick-built housing or
one or the other or both.
Yeah, and I don't mean to say it's going to be both. I don't.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Mr.
Okay. All right, sir, if you can take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-94 Seacoast Investments, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-94? All right, sir. Well, we'll start with Mr. Baxter, and we'll work our way back. How's that?
Thank you, gentlemen. I have mixed emotions about this.
Mr. Baxter, I need you to give us your name because our tape doesn't recognize you.
Jim Baxter, president of Baxter Farms, a family operation incorporated in the state of Delaware.
Thank you.
What I don't understand, and I've talked with Mr. McBride last Saturday, but seem like we've got a lot of carts before the horse. Now, as I look at the map over here, and your statement from the planning and zoning said 81 acres, I believe. But yet we show parts over there that they're going to use for a field to put the wastewater in. That's what I call it. Mm-hmm. And believe me, we do have some actual facts on wastewater from the town of Georgetown. We take all of the wastewater, and we now have about 350, 375 acres of land that we irrigate with wastewater from Georgetown. Number two, 163 houses, and I'm going to say on 70 acres. When we go to putting on our water, our sludge, we use sludge from Velasic Pickle, we have to be 100 foot from the railroad right away, which they come in 33 feet from the center. we have to be 100 feet from that. Now, why? I don't think anybody's going to get poisoned on a railroad, but this is treated sludge. This is Dynarac. Now, there's no words in this system that these gentlemen, Leonard and Ben, I know both of them, have they said that they've got approval from Dynarac to do all this. And to me, it bothers me to the fact that this is not done. That CSUN, I know they've got test wells out there and such as that. But today, a home of two bathrooms, sometimes have to build a mound system that's probably 150 foot long. Total cost of $8,000, and maybe more now. And so these kind of things do bother me that they've neglected to say. 163 houses is a bunch of houses to be dropped into a community of, I'm going to say, 35 homes. And I'm sure that they have always been of the opinion that these people that pay taxes and own a piece of land should be able to do with what they want to as long as it's legal. Now, you're the folks that's going to start the legal process up to the county council. So I'm not going to say what's wrong with the housing and such as that. It just looks odd to me. But the main thing that I talked to Mr. McBride about was the pure fact of this ditch that goes through, which is go ahead, Oka. That ditch was there for many, many years. Mr. Noah Smith, when he bought that property that we now own, he worked with soil conservation and had that ditch dug out, redug to what he wanted to call it, through soil conservation. I don't know, I never asked him how much it cost him or anything about it. Anyway, Monday I made a final visit to soil conservation in the building of the Dynarac. And they said, oh, well, no problem on it. It's a problem of two landowners. That's us and the corporation here. There's seven homes on Zora Road that depend on that ditch if it could be opened for drainage. The people there have paid for tiling and such as that, and the state put it in so that they don't have big ditches of water. So the water comes across a little bit underneath the culvert that the state put in and comes in and ends on to us because there's no way that water can get down or up that ditch, whatever you want to call it. So that's the reason I'm interested in that. I want to see that they're going to make not wait till they start building houses. I want it looking that it's done. They can talk about pine trees. Yes, there's some pine trees in the center of the ditch. Going to have to be removed. Now, if the environmentalists have got to have their say, and that people with this, I mean, their flotation, I even went to soil conservation, and flotation does look like it would flow to that. They've already, when Melvin Joseph had the racetrack, he had a swale cut to this ditch. And so that ditch has an important thing. But I'm going to get on to something else. I have here Chapter 14, Agriculture and Forestal Nuisance. This is passed in November 19th in 1987 here in this courthouse, that we could farm without any problems as long as we did a decent job. That doesn't mean we have to aggravate people, but sometimes, you know, a little bit of manure does stink to some people. To me, it's money.
I always thought it smelled like money.
Anyway, these are things that we want to make sure that you understand that you have in your possession. I know you have that, but I just want to emphasize it. We also have here, which is ordinance number 862, which goes on and elaborates about the houses being built in an agriculture district have to have it on their deed that they're going to play the devil trying to sue us if they do so. Now, our land is in farmland preservation. We did not take any development rights. It's just in farmland preservation. I want them to know if they sue us, they're going to have to pay our lawyer fee. Then you'd be sure of getting your money, see? These are things that really concern me that I have written down here. And going back to the thing, I wasn't going to mention this tonight, but it looks like to me they opened the gate and you helped do it about Del Dot. Now, where are they planning on coming out on Bethesda Road, which is well traveled today? Now, dump 163 automobiles out on that road 5 years from now is going to be a difficult job. But plus the fact, how much land are they going to have to take from us on the opposite side of where it comes out on Bethesda Road to make a turn for a 45 or 40, 52-foot bus? It's not going to be easy. So they've got to take, I guess they take it, they say they'll give us a little bit, you know. We've discussed this roundabout. One other thing, I was hoping tonight somebody would be here from the news, from the press, to think about this. And the roundabout they're talking about, they've never had any design or anything else done. All they've done is made a picture on a piece of paper. This is a roundup. The circle in Georgetown, I imagine most of you are familiar with that. The town board asked Del Dot to not have trucks coming through Georgetown because they were tearing up the curbing. Now they're making this slant curbing. We've got a combine, no head on it, that goes about 20 foot down the road. And these are things, in other words, you cannot make a design on a piece of paper, so here's a roundabout. We've been talking to them about it for a year now. And you try to say, well, we've got to do something about traffic on Zora Road, which turns left, which has been mentioned. They said, well, all you're going to do is divert your traffic. Now, we have an accident there just about, I'd say, one and a half cars every month. Now, these are things that's got to be taken care of. And Del Dot, I know you don't have a bit of control over it. You can't even fuss at them, but I can. So these are the kind of things that have got to be taken care of before I really come into the fact of endorsing this whole plan. I'm willing to stand by. I want the person I could just said and opened. If you're going to be taxed on a piece of property and you're going to be a law-abiding citizen, that you people are going to make sure they do, okay, more credit to it. But I do know there's going to be a traffic impact on that area with 30 homes, and somebody dumps 100 and some odd houses in that acreage. So, gentlemen, I don't know whether I'm saying against it or for it or whatever. I mean, I want to try to make both sides issue because I don't try to be biased, because I want to do a little bit like I want to do if it's legal. So I thank you for your time.
Yes, sir. Well, we thank you for your comments. They're very important to us. So thank you.
Maybe I can do you want to ask a question? I mean, I'll do my best to answer. If you can, I'll turn it over to the lawyers.
I think we're all right for now.
Okay,
see,
thank
around,
you.
Stick around in case we think of something. All right. Okay. All right, who's next? Yes, sir. You're in the, yeah, that's right. You're in the on-deck seat there.
I'm Bose Kruger. I represent Kruger Farms.
All right, sir.
He keeps talking about this Sam's House ditch. They're going to clean it out. They cannot clean it out because it's owned by private people down south. And all your water is going to flood our farm out, and we live upstream.
Who owns the
That's
ditch?
That's our problem, huh?
Who owns the ditch? You said
the
private people?
The landowners own up to the center of the ditch. That's the normal procedure. Unless it's a tax ditch, but it's not a tax ditch. I guarantee that to you right now.
Okay.
It's not a tax ditch.
The almshouse.
And he says they're
going to
get.
It's more of a branch. It's been deepened a little bit, I guess, probably in.
Pardon what now?
It's more of a branch. I mean, it was deepened by what, the WPA or something back
in
the.
Yeah, dug by hand years ago.
Dug by hand.
It comes up to Paul Shores almost, that ditch does.
Pretty much parallels Route 113 eventually dumps into Millsboro Pond. I spent about an hour out there today.
And this guy is going to get Soil Conservation to clean it out, but you got to talk to the property owners, and they're not all going to agree to it. I grant you that before you ask them. And it's going to back up on our farm, flood us out, and we'll go broke. Mr. Kruger, he knows what I'm talking about.
Well, I guess, Mr. Chairman, we can ask Mr. McBride to clarify, but I think they were talking about only cleaning the portion of the ditch that's on their property that goes into
the
bridge.
Yeah, but it's plugged up from there on down towards south to the end of it.
Well, I understand. And that's a problem.
That is a bad problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. But they can only control what's on their land. That's the,
yeah, but if they plug the ditch up from, like we had 2-3 weeks ago, this big bad rain is going to flood a farm and ruin their crops. Mr. Ross knows all about flooding the crops out.
Okay.
Got some underwater right now.
Huh?
Got some underwater right now.
Yeah. That's all I have to say.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
We thank you. All right, who's next? Okay. Coming up from the back row.
Clean up.
Oh, don't be too sure. Might be one after you.
Roland just told me he's clean up.
Right. Tell us who you are, and then.
My name's Joe Smith. I own the property on the south side of the racetrack property. My biggest concern is when I walked in here, I own 7.5 acres of ground. Looking at that map there, I just lost some. Their boundary lines are not correct. I told Kevin about it. He's supposed to look into it.
Okay.
Now, the biggest and other concern is the traffic that's going to be out on Bethesda Road. You got a little tar and chip road there. It's not going to handle the construction. It's not going to handle housing traffic. So I'm against it. Like I said.
All right, sir. We thank you. Okay, anybody else? Okay.
I'm Roland Hitchens, joining this property on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be on the east side of the circle.
Okay.
Number one, how is that going to be drained? That's a lot of surface to be drained. It'll actually be joining me, contacting me. And is it going to be drained down Zor Road or Bethesda Road or what? I farm along that road. That's one thing. In 2007, I was hired to go on that property and work for an independent DENREC or something to that effect. And I found one thing I never... Where is the results of that test?
You have to ask the question.
You need to ask me if you would, and then I'll try to get an answer for you. Also, what test?
The soil test and whatever testing that DENREC does. I took it that the owners rejected the test from DENREC, I guess.
I'll find out.
Yeah. Well, there was one or two tests there that. I was digging these holes. I dug holes for 8 hours. One of these holes I dug was 12 foot deep.
Mm-hmm.
In the water, it was in water. The water was covered up with oil. Has there been anything done about that?
I'll find out.
No, I know. There's never
been
anything.
Then what are you asking me for if you already know? Why don't you just tell us that nothing's been
done
about it?
I just want the rest of them to know.
Well... Say so. They don't ask me.
I did another digging test, back in the woods, where there had been tin cans and trash had been buried there for probably 30 years. Beautiful Coke bottles, tin cans of all kinds. When I was knee-high to a grasshopper, I used to go out there and drink Coke drinks, bottle drinks. That's how I remember that.
Did you leave the bottles there?
Yeah.
Well, I think you better go pick them up.
No, I put them back where they came from.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, you know, I was looking for a report myself to verify the cleanup of that.
Okay.
And I know that hadn't been done.
Well, I think we were looking for that, too, and I'm going to find out about that here in a second.
That would be interesting.
All right.
The drainage is a big factor, though, on the highways and the circle and all that's going to be developed there.
But the circle and all that, I don't think these guys can really tell us much about. The only thing they can tell us about is what they're planning and what they'd like to do on their property.
So, sure.
You know, I don't know what to think about the circle. But you're right, it's an issue.
You better believe it is.
Yes, sir, it is.
That's all I got.
All right, sir.
At this time.
Well, we thank you. Well, it's one trip to a customer, so.
I'll be back again.
Okay. All right, gentlemen, you want to respond to. Well, you, that's good. Do you know, what do you know about the
test pits?
The test pits. And
I don't know what he's talking about, but I will check into it and see if there was anything observed. Sometimes, and again, I don't know where they were digging. If they were in the woods, it could have been, you know, tannic.
Well, could it be associated with, I understand there's a phase one study that's in the file someplace.
Yeah, and I want to clarify, that is not in the binder, so I will get you the phase one. I will check with the geotech and the soils people when they did the test pits and see what
be. I want you to, if you would, Lawrence, Shane, make sure that gets in the file, okay? And then, sir, you can come in and look at it. It'll be here. Just go to the planning and zoning office and tell them what you want to see. I give them a few days to get it there, but yes, sir.
Can you tell us exactly where it was on the property? Okay, that would be good.
Why don't you guys get together afterwards, because I don't think much is going to be decided tonight, so you go ahead and see if you can answer some of the of his concerns, because I mean, if he was there, he was digging a hole, he saw something didn't look right. I'd like to know that somebody's said something about it, done something about it.
I'm gonna dig the hole again.
Big Bride, while you're there,
that's up to y'all. Go ahead, have a big time.
Can you also clarify? Two folks talked about the drainage, and in your exhibit book, you're saying that you're not going to have any additional off-site water than is already generated. Can you clarify, just so there's a little confusion as to if you're able to clean out the ditch, you know, what portion you're going to clean out, and also how much stormwater runoff there will be, if any, excess?
Good point. In our original exhibit, nothing's changed really on the stormwater concept. It's to take the ditch that we're talking about that has an obstruction, it runs through here, and then goes through Alms this way to Alms House Ditch, okay? There's about 4 feet of fall from here to here, okay? Where this culvert is, it looks like it could be lowered a little bit. But what we saw on Saturday was that, and a lot of times this is dry, but it's been very wet, so there was a little bit of water here, very, very little, but when it got from about here back, there was a lot of water, and I think there were some pine trees that were obstructing it. And looking at the topo, which I just got right before this meeting, it looks like it may actually have a reverse slope in the bottom of the ditch where it's lower here. So what we want to do is see, we weren't going to replace this culvert, but if we can replace that culvert and drop it down another foot or two and then clean this portion out, it should flow much, much better. Our drainage is to take this and bring it across here, because there is a good bit of depth in this ditch. Bring it across into this pond and then back out into this portion, which is much lower than the rest of the site. So we're going to collect all this, treat it here, and then retain it over a period of time and release it at a rate that's no more than what's coming off there today. So that's what I mean by we have more impervious area, but we're managing it as it releases and leaves our site. The trouble upstream, we can only do what we can do on our property, and we can only do that if we can get the permits. If they deny us the permits, then there's not a whole lot we can do to fix the ditch. but it might be part of a maintenance operation. I know we could probably get this culvert replaced as part of a maintenance and a nationwide application. So we'll just try and enlist the help of the state and try and see what we can do to this ditch. But again, we've got groups at the state that are saying save more trees, keep the hedgerows in place, and we've been through this at the council level and the planning commission recommending that when we have things like this that we leave them in place. So we're sort of in a tough situation, but we want to help the farmers, and we've done everything we can to create more open space and buffers for the farmers, so we'll do what we can.
Well, I think if you all could use your combined influence to get some of these other folks out there to physically see what's going on there, that could be of some help to you also. Now, I want to ask you one other thing. This the gentleman raised a concern regarding the survey and property lines. Do you know anything about that?
Well, Mr. Smith,
if he's right, you're in trouble. If you're right, he's going to have trouble with somebody else, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I wouldn't blame him either.
Morris Richard didn't do this boundary survey. Simpler did it, and we're relying on that. And if it's wrong, obviously we'll correct it. The area is this property line here. It goes down straight. There's a woods line that comes along the back of his property, a hedgerow that goes between his property and ours, and there's wetlands that start about right here and go in this direction, have a little finger that comes up here, a little blip, and you have to be up close to see it. But it's associated with the east side of Almshouse Ditch, I guess. That's about where he says it bears to the northeast rather than directly east. So we'll check into it. It's all wetlands. It's open space. We have no housing there. We don't plan on developing it, so it'll remain as it is. If it's his property, he certainly can keep it. We'll adjust our numbers. It'll come off of the open space. But
if it's a concern, it certainly should needs to be resolved. I think the commission would like to see that at least addressed. Property line's a serious issue. I mean, you know, I know it's not in anything, it's in the wetlands and all that, but it's, you know, it's the man's property or somebody's. We need to find out for sure. We need to find out for sure who it belongs to. So that's all.
I've got phase one, oil and the test pits and the property.
All right. No, I think that's enough. How much time do you need to get that together? Because we may leave the record open to receive it. 15 days enough?
Thanks.
Mr. Fuquay says yes. So, okay, anybody else? Yes, sir, come on up. Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Michael Corman. I live at Speedway Road. And they're talking about putting that water from the sewer add on the front of my house. Way I look at it, and not agreeing with that, because one thing is, if they already got oil left on that land, bringing that water down inside there is going to bring that oil back up to my well and down in time. And the second part is, Bethesda Road is a township road, like we always said. According to the county laws and DLDOT, a development of that size is supposed to be a blacktop road, and it's supposed to be widened to more traffic. And then the roundabouts is going to come in there down the road. Mr. Baxter said 163 cars. I'm counting probably about 326 cars going to be using that roundabout at any given time when it's put in. So I don't think that roundabout is going to take that kind of traffic, or Bethesda Road is going to take that kind of traffic. And that's all I got to say.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Marty, can you even get a combine for a roundabout?
It's according to, if you're a good driver like Mr. Baxter, yeah, I mean, you can get it around there. But, you know, the darn things are, they're growing.
I know they are, and that's my point. Not quite sure they're thinking that all the way through.
I would tell you that it would be fun driving a combine around the circle, though, header on. So I don't know how big a circle they're planning on putting in
that's,
there, but
yeah,
well, it would be challenging.
I mean, unfortunately,
you wouldn't want to do it after happy hour. I
understand.
Tell you that.
Okay. Anybody else wish to speak? Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Baxter, we normally let it's one trip to a customer, but because it's you, I'll get to you in a second.
My name is Charlene Adams Baker. I do not live adjoining the Speedway property. I am a lifetime resident of Sussex County, and my father worked for Melvin Joseph at the time that Melvin was building that Speedway, and my father and Melvin actually designed that Speedway property. My father laid out that Speedway, and it was his life. I feel as though it was my second home because I was always there. I have always been around that racetrack, and very few times has there ever been a race car run at that track, even a practice session, that I have not been there. Environmentally, in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, when guys changed gears or they had a motor fall apart in the middle of the night at a racetrack, all that gear oil, that alcohol fuel, gasoline fuel, was just dumped onto the ground. We didn't know about environmental issues back then. I have been around racing, as I say, all my life at various racetracks, all of them down this East Coast. A very well planned project of how to maintain dust on speedways in the 50s and 60s was to spray burnt motor oil onto your surface to lay the dust. I have been around that racetrack when my father maintained that track well after it was built in the 50s and the 60s. As a child running all around in that pit area, there was oil spots everywhere. I wouldn't want any property out there. I wouldn't want to build a home out there. I obviously do not want to see it end as our speedway. And if I had the means, it would be the Charlene Adams Speedway. And Bart, for the record, that racetrack was known as the Stokely Speedway when Mr. Joseph initially built it. And for many years, it operated as Georgetown Speedway, and only for a few years did it operate under the name of Seacoast. And currently now, the speeds, the signs on the front of this property is Georgetown Speedway again, as it should be, in honor of Mr. Joseph. If you drive down 113, you will see, turning onto Speedway Road, not only is that a Speedway Road going back to Bethesda Road and on to Zor Road, DelDOT has also designated Speedway Road as a secondary alternate road to Route 24, trying to get our city cousins to come down and dump off of 113 instead of going on down into the Millsboro area to go to the Long Neck area. And we've heard how many thousands of people are living in the Long Neck area tonight. The people that live on Speedway Road are already have all that alternate 24 traffic. And if you tried to go travel down 113 on a Thursday, Friday, or any night of the week, you're going to see a lot of people in the turn lanes there using that roadway. I do not live out there. I have a lot of friends that live out there. I'm out there a lot. There are a lot of traffic accidents out there. Those roads scare me. Those, the intersection of Speedway Road and the road that goes back over to Mr. Kruger's, there's a lot of accidents there. There are a lot of accidents out there where they got this idea for this roundabout right now. I don't know. I hope this doesn't happen. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Okay, anybody else wish to speak in opposition? Okay, Mr. Baxter, you've got one more thing you want to share with us?
Thank you very much. Real quickly, when I was in the Dennerac and the Soil Dennerac and the Soil Conservation Monday afternoon, they told me that they would do the grade from Zora Road clear over to the wetlands or swamp, whatever you want to call it, where it drains into a ditch that comes down to Stokely and on down to Betts's Pond. Not Betts's Pond, Millsboro Pond. So I think it's possible. In other words, they said the permits are probably the two permits coming from different state agencies probably have it done in 100 days, to get the permits. And they would be glad to run the grade, but they have no money to help. We'd be more than glad to help. We take care of our part. It's on our farm. As long as they run the grade from Resort Road to the final destination, and that's what we need. If you're just going to clean out where the development's going to be, then we can sure have another backup. That we're going to have another 15 or 20 acres to go bad every year, and we're getting a little tired of it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
And I sure enough appreciate you folks taking the time to listen to us. Most of us don't have a great big vocabulary, but we try to talk in earnest. Now, thank you very much.
Well, I think you're all a lot easier to understand than some of the ones that come up here, too. So we appreciate you coming out and sharing your thoughts with us, because you know what? If nobody comes, we think nobody cares. So we really appreciate you all of you taking the time. Is there anybody else who wants to speak in opposition? Ladies, anybody over here? I kept looking this way. I realize I know you're there. Nothing? Okay. Anybody on the commission have any questions? All right. There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to stay with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.